If you turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. Verses 7 to 24, in a sermon entitled Elijah and the Widow. 1 Kings 17, chapter 7. Chapter 17, verse 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I commanded a widow at that place to supply you with food." And so he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I can have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home. Do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the Lord gives rain on the land." So she went her way and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What have you against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried her to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on the bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Oh, Lord, my God, you brought tragedy also upon this widow I'm staying with by causing her son to die." And then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, "Oh, Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." And the Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." Lord Jesus, oh God, what a wonderful story of salvation and truth and hope and joy. You, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are here today. You desire to give miracles to your people. You will answer the prayers of your people as they seek your face and are faithful to your word. Oh God, as a church, may we be a witness to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. I ran across a story that recently tickled my funny bone. Woman was going through the checkout line in the grocery store, and she noticed that the bad boy was eyeing her two adopted children curiously, and that was not unusual because they often draw attention, since her son is a blonde Russian and her daughter has shiny black Haitian skin. The boy continued staring as he carried the groceries to the car and finally asked, "Are those your kids?" She replied proudly, "Yes, they are." "They adopted?" he asked. "Yes, they are," she replied. "I thought so," he concluded. "I figured you're too old to have kids that small." Now that's beautiful and hilarious File it in the back of your mind as we look at today's story from 1 Kings about people not of different colors, but of different religions. The story comes from Elijah the prophet. It was a difficult time in the history of Israel as we try to understand what is the context of this word. The kingdom had fallen into idolatry. Baal worship had become the official state religion. There was a terrible drought and famine in the land. Food was scarce, and Elijah the prophet was on the run from Ahab the king and his wicked wife Jezebel, Queen Jezebel. The Lord led Elijah to a brook where he could drink, but soon it dried up. And thus the word of the Lord came to him. And the word of the Lord came to him right here in verse 9. Go at once. When God speaks, when God directs, you listen, even though it doesn't make sense. Listen what he says. Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. All right. Now let's try to understand this, because it's like, okay, going up Spring Valley. No, we're not talking about this. This is what we're talking about. This particular place was located on the Mediterranean coast between Tyre and Sidon. It was the heart, the worst part, the most intense part of pagan territory. Much like our brothers have shared about people and pastors in India that are attempting to proclaim the gospel, they are more and more going into places of opposition as the enemy tries to close the doors of the Word of God. So here he is. He's told to go to the worst part. To the worst part. In a famine, where there is no food, the Lord says, will you go here? This was not far from Queen Jezebel's hometown. Going a little bit closer to the queen that wants to kill you. An unlikely place for him to hide from Ahab and his henchmen. And then God tells something equally as unlikely. Listen to what the word of the Lord is to that. He says, I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. Let's get the context of what's going on here. Famine in the land, drought in the land, he's being chased, he's on the run. The Lord says, all right, go to the heart of pagan territory, close to the king and the queen that want to kill you, and guess what? Guess who's going to help you? I told a widow, and she's going to help you. Well, this is counterintuitive, my friends, because in that day, nobody struggled more mightily during a time of drought and famine than widows. That is, unless they had grown children to provide for them. The government certainly didn't do it. Their neighbors probably didn't do it. So they could barely provide for themselves. And as Elijah makes his way to Zarephath, he's certainly thinking that a pagan town and a widow and her young son with little resources could not be of much help. Our God is not only the God of the impossible. Sometimes he calls us to do and go to the improbable. It doesn't make sense to us, but in God's economy, in God's time, in God's way, in God's will, it's the right thing to do. We're going to see how that works out. So, he tells him to go. Now, I'm going to tell you something, young people. I'm going to tell you something, those of you who have gathered a few little years under your belt. I'm going to tell you a secret of a fulfilling life. If God tells you to do something, or if God tells you to go somewhere, then you better get a move on. It's a well-known story about a weak and sickly man who was unable to afford a doctor. He lived in the deep backwoods in an old log cabin, and in front of his cabin was a huge boulder. And one night he had a vision in which God told him to go out and push that massive rock in the front of his home all day long. Day after day after day, push the rock, push the rock, push the rock, until God told him to stop. Then the man got up early the next morning, did what he told, pushed the rock as long as he could. After a rest, he pushed some more, and he pushed some more, and he pushed some more, and every day he pushed a little harder, a little longer. Day after day he pushed, days rolled into weeks, weeks into months. He faithfully listened to the Lord and pushed against the rock. And after several months of pushing, he started getting tired. He began to doubt that this vision had come from God. He decided, all right, let me figure this out. Let's see how far that rock has moved. He discovered in his measurement that he had not budged that rock at all. So the man was disappointed. He was in despair. He sat on his porch and cried because he had invested so much of his life for nothing. But as the sun was setting, Jesus came and sat down next to him and asked, "Son, why are you so sad?" And the man replied, "Lord, you know how sick and weak I am. And then the vision you gave me to build up built me up some false hope, and I pushed with all that was in me for many months, and that old rock is right where it was when I started. I'm down." And Jesus said to him, "I never told you to move the rock. I told you to push against the rock." And Jesus told the man to step in front of the mirror and look at himself. And the man did so and was amazed. He'd been so sickly. He'd been so weak. But now what he saw in the mirror was a strong and muscular man. And it dawned on him that he'd been feeling better for months, and it was all because he'd been pushing the rock. And suddenly the man understood that the plan of God was not to change the position of the rock, but to change him. That, my friends, is how obedience to God works. Our task is not to understand what God is seeking to accomplish, but that is our human nature and self is. We want to understand, why am I doing this, Lord? Why have you called me to this place? Why are pastors in India not able to speak out to so many people? Why? Help me get it. Help me understand. Our task is not to understand what God is seeking to accomplish. Our task is to obey. And oh boy, it's not going to take long for us to see the blessings that flow due to our obedience. Elijah heard the word of the Lord that he was to go to that town where God had instructed a widow to supply him with food. And he did what he was told, even though the plan seemed to be just plain nuts. And when he came to the town gate, he encounters the widow there, and she's gathering sticks. All right. Here we are. Verse 10. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. So that's where he finds her. She's gathering some sticks, and this was Baal territory, remember? The heart of idolatry and idol worship. And I think that it's fair for us to assume that this widow had been raised to worship idols. In other words, she was not even a person of the true God. She was very likely a Baal worshiper herself. So now Elijah has been called not only to the heart of Baal worship, to the place where he could be captured by the people that are coming after him, to a widow that was going to have more trouble caring for herself and for her small son than anybody else, and Elijah's told to go there. To go there. And, by the way, she isn't even a worshiper of the Lord. And yet, I want to let you know that this person was a giving person. This person was a kind person. I'm telling you something. It happens sometimes that sometimes a person or of another faith or even of no faith might be a more giving person and a kinder person than the person brought up in the church. It happens. I've got people in my family that are so close. They live the right way. You look at them and say, that's what a Christian should be like. And yet, some have not gotten to the place that you've got to get to become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is that you are a sinner. And that you need to be saved by the almighty grace of God. Being good isn't good enough. And yet there are so many people who are not people of faith or who are people of other faiths, are kind people, are giving people, are loving people. Don't prejudge a person because they're of another faith or nationality. Elijah called to this widow and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I can have a drink?" Amazingly, the scriptures tell us she did it. She didn't question. She didn't complain. She did it. As audacious as his request for water was, she was getting it. And then Elijah says, hey, wait a minute. And by the way, bring me a piece of bread. Famine in the land, drought in the land, like a drink, and a piece of bread. So, what happens? Verse 12. "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering some sticks here to take home and make a meal for myself and my son so we may eat it and die." Can you hear? Can you hear what these widow's words imply? She and her son are on the verge of starvation. She's gathering a few sticks to take them home to make a meal for herself so they can eat it and die. Talk about the Last Supper. Elijah says to her, verse 13, "Don't be afraid." I'm telling you, God is speaking to you today. Don't be afraid. There may be a drought in the land. There may be famine in the land. You may be a widow. You may be gathering the sticks to have your last meal before you die. But God is with you. He's not going to leave you. He never will leave you. He will never forsake you. And he's saying to you today, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Go home, as you said, but first make a small cake for me from what you have and bring it to me. For this is what the Lord your God of Israel says, the jar of flour will not be used up, the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. Our God is a God who keeps his promises. Our God is a God of provision. Astounding. Even though this widow has no experience of Elijah's God, she does as Elijah told her. She used her last resources to provide for this prophet who was not even of her faith. And then something miraculous, something that brings tears to my eyes when I think about it, happens. The food and the oil kept coming miraculously. Out of nowhere, the blessing of God, the provision of God kept happening. Food every day for the woman. Food every day for her son. Food every day for Elijah. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord. Hallelujah! Can I get an amen? Amen. Wow! This poor widow probably thought life is going to work out after all. Woo! Great! Great! Wonderful! And then the story ends, right? And they live happily ever after. Well, who's dad? It wasn't that long ago that we were all praying for him regarding his pancreas. Cancer in the fluid of a cyst. What's going to happen? All of a sudden, the miracle of God occurs and he is cancer-free and all is well. And we applaud, praise Jesus. Hallelujah! A couple months later, the guy has a stroke. So let's look at what's happening here. Takes a sad twist. So many times, just after we're on the mountaintop, something happens to bring us right back to earth. Sometime later, verse 17, the son of the widow who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. You know, sometimes things just continue to keep going at you. Some of you will remember the song from the vintage TV show Hee Haw, where they say, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and misery on me. Now I'm telling you, if this widow had been a Hee Haw fan, that would have been her song. This is the theme of many people, the theme song, especially true of poor people. You know, Jesus is full of compassion. And during the years of interviewing children for his program House Party, the late Art Linkletter occasionally interviewed underprivileged child. And you know, what people don't understand is Art Linkletter grew up in a poor family, and he writes in his book, Kids Say the Darndest Things, that if the church hadn't donated dinners to his family, holidays such as Thanksgiving and Christmas would have been bleak. In one interview, he asked an impoverished child, what makes a happy home? And the little boy answered, a steady paycheck. There's something to that. There's no fun being poor, and the widow knew about poverty, but for now God was providing her daily essentials and she was pleased. But then she hit an obstacle that she could not handle. Her precious son became seriously ill. He grew worse and worse until one day he stopped breathing altogether. And the distraught widow says to Elijah, verse 18, what do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? Very telling. She shared an attitude that was really very prevalent in biblical times. Her son was sick, and therefore she thought that she was being punished for some sin that she had committed, and so her son was being taken away from her. There are some people who feel like that today, and that's sad. Give me your son, Elijah replies. And he takes that boy in his arms, and he carries him upstairs to his own room, and he lays him on the bed, and he cries out to the Lord God of Israel. Lord God, you brought tragedy even on this widow I'm staying with by causing her son to die. Now, I'm telling you something. Listen to what the prophet is saying. You think that because Elijah is a prophet, he's got his life all figured out? He has no idea why this widow's son is either dead or on the verge of death. He stopped breathing. And so Elijah stretched himself out on the boy three times and cries out to the Lord, Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him. The writer of 1 Kings says, verse 22, the Lord heard Elijah's cry and the boy's life returned to him and he lived. And Elijah picked up the child and carried him down to the room into the house, and he gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Now, can you imagine her response to that good news? Elation, joy, gratitude, certainly all that. But here's what's happening. Here's why God is allowing all these horrible, no good, very bad things to be happening. And this is why he called Elijah to be in a specific place at a specific time, because he had a specific task that he wanted accomplished. This event confirms her faith, and she gives her heart to the true God. She says here, verse 24, her come to faith moment. "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." I don't believe it's an accident that Elijah was sent to the widow at Zarephath. It didn't matter that she was probably a worshiper of Baal. No. Who can fault her for that? That was the way she was brought up. That's why we've got to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's why we've got to tell our neighbors and our friends. We've got a responsibility. They don't believe in Jesus. They may worship somebody else. They may worship nobody at all. But God is calling us. Her parents believed in Baal. Her neighbors believed in the same thing. And she grew up singing the pagan equivalent of, "Baal loves me, this I know." But here's the thing I want to point out to you. I want you to see this clearly and straightforwardly. Even though she was not a follower of the true God, she had a good heart and a loving spirit. She was willing to share with a stranger from another region and another religion. And I believe God loved this widow. I don't think that God ignores the needs of people in other lands and other faiths. Luke chapter 4, verses 25 to 27. Here we find in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is talking about this incident. So this is such a big deal in the Old Testament that Jesus uses it to talk about it in the New Testament in Luke chapter 4, verse 25. "I assure you," he says, Jesus says, "that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." Do you hear what Jesus is saying? In a restricted view of the universe, we say charity begins at home. God says charity begins wherever there's a need. Jesus says there were many Jewish widows to whom God could have sent Elijah, and there were many Jewish lepers that Elisha could have healed. But God chose foreigners who worship pagan gods to receive a blessing from these prophets and to come to faith in him. So many churches and so many people sitting in churches across the land today do not understand our need to proclaim the gospel. Little short story here, more will come later. But you've seen the bus out back. It's got a new future. It's on its way to Haiti. People that we had worked with the bus before, the thought was, well, we're going to teach Pastor Brian to drive the bus and some other things. And then they heard of a group of Haitian children who had to travel the equivalent of Nyack to Spring Valley. They walked because they wanted to go to school. That's a pretty long walk. And so the thought was, They need it, so let's make sure we give this bus to somebody who needs it so bad that they can be blessed by it. So they've been out back trying to work on it, pray that they're able to get it to the port, because there was a whole load of diesel that got left in there about 3 years, and it's got a little bit of change as happens with diesel. So they can get the thing to run, but they can't get it to go. But it's going to Haiti, and the man who is working on it, ask him to come in. He's a believer, and I want him to share with you. There's so many people who have such a small God. Such a small God, but our God wants to save people. He wants us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He wants us to think about other people in other lands, not just about ourselves. We need to let people know who Jesus is. And I believe that Jesus is the best picture that humanity has of the character of God. So I believe that we as a church and we as people need to do everything that we can do to help people know that Jesus loves them, that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for them, and that Jesus can set them free. But in the meantime, I want you to remember that God is the God of all people, and He loves all people, and He wants us to go and to share and to give. And I'm so thankful that so many of you do. Don't you think that God had a plan and a purpose when He sent Elijah to the region of Sidon, the town of Zarephath? Don't you think after this experience with Elijah that this widow, when she came to faith, true faith, could not wait to tell her family, could not wait to tell her friends about this prophet who had blessed her life? Don't you think she became an evangelist to her own community, especially after her son was brought back from the dead? And don't you think her testimony carried more weight because of the kind of person she was? You see, everybody knew she had a good heart. Everybody knew that she was a kind and loving person. And now she had met a God who had set her free from worshiping Baal. Do you understand that when we encounter people of other faiths, this is to be our task? We are to be so kind. We are to be so loving to them that they will see who God really is. Jesus! He's like Jesus! And when they learn about Jesus, when they come to faith in Christ, they themselves will be evangelists as well. Do you remember the words of Gandhi? He said this: he would become a Christian, except for the Christians he had known. He would have become a Christian except for the Christians he had known. God help us if that could be said of us. What a wonderful story this is, because God uses His prophet to bring healing to the home of a widow and her son, and in doing so, introduces a village in the heart of Baal country to the God of Abraham, Elijah, and Jesus. You see, that's the way God works. Through people with open hearts toward all people, whether they like them or not. God is working in your life. Things happen. They happen for a reason. God knows what He's doing. He may be using you to bring someone to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So keep living your life. Keep having faith in Him. Keep doing what He wants you to do. Keep going where He wants you to go. For you will not only be blessed yourselves, my friends, you will bring the love of Jesus to others. And the blessing that will flow out from those dandelion seeds of faith will produce a crop that, wow, could be as big as the one in our yard every year. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how good you are, how wonderful the word of the Lord is. You are such a great, awesome, and mighty God, and your provision stories and your stories, Lord, of how it is you work, Help us in our times of difficulty and struggle. Give us faith, the faith to trust you, for you know what you're doing. Change us, Lord, that we might be the Jesus other people see, that they might come to him. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.